Good evening, everyone. This is Rochelle Wilhite, the designated broker for Best Choice Realty. We're almost done with the sequence. We're on conference call number 11, for those of you who are jumping on consistently on these calls. We're going to talk tonight about keeping the deals together, which is one of the key things is my function as your broker, to make sure that the transactions stay together as much as possible and there's less conflict and less hassle. Although we say that, there are a lot of deals that are at risk of canceling, and there are some ways to prevent that. So tonight we're going to talk about some of those good ideas that we've come across. If you haven't done a lot of transactions, but you're looking for ways to be proactive at keeping your deals together, you're at the right place tonight. So we're going to talk about remorse a bit, ways to prevent it, and then we are going to talk about some of the new forms and how some of the agents are using those, and then reassuring your client and some good communication tactics when you get into a situation, how to deal with that. We will end the call at about 6 o'clock, and if you have a specific question regarding a deal in process that you're needing my help with, you can certainly call me after the conference call tonight. We can discuss about your situation, your personal situation with your clients. Start off with most brokerages, if you talk to the broker, and I do talk with a lot of designated brokers and managing brokers in our area, they never like to tell me this, but most of them, when we're talking shop and talking about the conflicts that we're dealing with, they would agree with me, if we had all of them on a panel tonight, they would agree that one out of four deals that they're currently that's on their books has a very, very high probability of canceling. And some brokerages, actually, if you look at how many pendings they have and how many actually go to closing, it's really bad. It's like sometimes 30% of canceled transactions. So what that means for you, if you're a buyer's agent, is that, you know, there's deals that are written, even though you think, oh, I'm never going to get my buyer a home. If you're persistent and you're having good communication and writing professional offers, sometimes you can actually get your buyer the property by putting them in backup status because there's so many deals at risk of cancellation. So keep that in mind if you're a buyer's agent. When you're a listing agent, you should also think about cancellation as that if one out of four transactions in a typical real estate brokerage is at risk of canceling, when I'm countering or I'm trying to select the best offer for my seller or assist them in consulting with them about what is important to them, about which offer, you should consider some of the things we're going to talk about tonight and be more proactive than you probably have been in the past. That may be countering some of the points or requesting certain things from the buyers that are offering. So we're going to talk about some of those things tonight. One of the things that is sometimes is not easy to prevent is remorse. Some buyers just plain and simple want to back out of a transaction because they have had a change of heart or they just have a fear that, you know, something is going to happen. So one of the things you want to do if you're looking at your client or your buyer and wanting to prevent them from having buyer's remorse is to identify some potential cancellation issues. If you need to, you may want to redo the buyer consultation. We talked about that several weeks ago. And maybe set expectations. It's what I call, there was an agent in one of my offices, and she was from Texas, and she's like, I'm going to have a come to Jesus with my clients. And I thought, whatever it takes. Sometimes after you've written the offer and they feel like this kind of client is high maintenance or is going to have buyer's remorse, even though you sat down with them maybe a month or two prior or even 6 months prior and had a good buyer consultation to find out what were their important, you know, pros and cons of buying and going over what they liked and what they didn't like, and you spent so many times on weekends showing them properties and then getting bid out after finding two or three properties, and may throw up some red flags to you about potential remorse. You may want to have, like my Texan agent said, have a come to Jesus with these people and sit down and actually go over what is really important. Why are they having the remorse? And sometimes by having that, redoing the buyer consultation, you can reset the expectations, you can console them, you can make them feel good about their buying decision, and sometimes overcome their need to back out of the deal. We had an agent just a couple weeks ago who had this happen. He had been out showing several homes to this one client. This client had even conversed with me about their purchasing decision on where they wanted to purchase. It had to be in this good school district. It had to have this and had to have that. They had already backed out of one deal because of inspection. And then this other deal, they were just wanting to, have somebody validate their choice with this property and with this particular property. And when the buyer's agent redid a buyer consultation when they were having second thoughts or having remorse, what he uncovered was that this particular client, the husband, was having some marital problems with the wife, and that was what was creating the remorse. Now, if this agent wouldn't have gone over late that night at the house and had a conversation with the husband about, some of the conflict that he was having with the wife, in essence, being a, moderator or a psychologist for this family, these buyers would not have bought this house. And the buyers actually were very pleased because the house was appraised at about $5,000 to $10,000 over what they offered. So they walked into instant equity, and they were very happy with their purchasing decision. So a lot of that was that potential for cancellation was overcome because this agent did a good job of dealing with the remorse and actually having a buyer consultation or redoing the buyer consultation at that point in the transaction. A lot of times buyer's remorse comes from when the buyer questions her choices, whether buyers handled change well. Some buyers don't do well when things happen or when, the property is being countered back and forth and back and forth, and they kind of are over it or they don't like change. Sometimes that happens where they have a change of heart. If not dealt with, it will result in a cancellation. So you can't let a buyer who has remorse just let it go for a day or 2 days or a week. If they don't like change, if their buyers are the type of analytic that does not like change, that kind of has planned everything in their life, they have a high risk of cancellation, and you need to watch that and deal with it appropriately and soon. Don't wait. A lot of buyers doubt whether it's the right time to buy. Some people, for whatever reason, think, it'll get better if I wait a few months or if I wait a year. You can always operate like that, but I don't think prices are going to drop. We have people coming from overseas right now. We have people coming from Canada, from Vancouver specifically, and a lot of California and industry, people moving to the Seattle area, the Tacoma area now, and in the outlying areas. They're coming from other areas of the country where the economy is not so great and the jobs are here in Washington. So we are getting a lot of relocation, a lot of people coming and investing in our area, and so that is driving the prices up. So why not buy something in an area of our marketplace where things will increase in price? So some of the speculated people from the sidelines are thinking, maybe not now is not a good time to buy. I think if you can buy something, you have to be very strategic, and you have to not overpay and have a good real estate agent who will do the analysis for you and who will find the right properties for you to purchase. But I wouldn't say that the prices are dropping, and they don't look to drop in the coming 3 to 6 months. Prices are going up, even in areas where they were not, or they were flat. Even in the peninsula, where the prices were fairly flat, prices are going up over there and down in the Pierce and Thurston County areas as well. Other things that cause buyer's remorse, in the example I gave, it was where, one party was having second thoughts. It also happens when one person is involved in the purchasing decision and maybe their spouse or the other decision maker is not involved. This happened to me before when I had a buyer. It was a young guy that was looking to buy his first place, and he was here in the Seattle area looking for properties. Very, very savvy individual, was online all the time, texted me on several occasions on MLS numbers. I think he went through and I sent him properties through our website. He was on, if I total it up, I think he was on about 20 to 60 minutes a day on average, looking at properties, going through, narrowing it down on what he was really looking for. Well, we went up writing up an offer on a place, and his mom was from California, and she was going to actually put some money down as a gift to help him with his down payment. So we got to the point where we wrote an offer. He loved the property. His girlfriend checked it out, and she loved it as well, and we wrote an offer. Well, during the inspection period, you know, he called me. He's like, we want to back out of the property. And I'm like, okay, why did you want to back out? And he's like, well, I just don't feel like it's the right move. And I thought, there's got to be more to this. I mean, the guy is on the website a lot. He's looking at a lot of properties. We'd seen a lot. We'd written offers on other places that didn't really seem correct. But this particular property was the right fit for him, and I need to get to the bottom of it. So I just plain and simple called him and said, hey, can we get together and go over your questions about this property before we back out? So I had prepared a 35R. We wrote it with a subject to an inspection contingency. And in the inspection contingency, it says the buyer can go and look at the property on their own, does not even need to hire an inspector, and back out using that 35R contingency. And so I had prepared the 35R to back him out of the deal, met with him, and at the time, I didn't think there was a problem. You know, I just thought mom would be, you know, gifting him the part of the down payment, and then we could just move forward. So, but I, you know, I honored his request. I went ahead and filled out the 35R, and before I presented that to him, I wanted to fully understand why he was considering backing out of the deal. And I reminded him of the key things about the property that he liked. And at that point in time, I said, I'm having a hard time understanding what, you know, why you're having second thoughts about this. And face-to-face, when I was about ready to have him sign the 35R and back him out of the transaction, I had it in the folder, I had it prepared in case it went that way, he mentioned that his mom was the one that saw the pictures online and had second thoughts. And what I learned from this experience, and again, you always learn, is that whenever there's another person involved in the ownership, or there's the wife is putting money down, or the wife, maybe you talked to the husband, but you didn't talk to the wife, you didn't involve both people in the purchasing decision, that's when sometimes you'll have a potential for cancellation and have buyer's remorse. So what we ended up doing, he's like, yeah, she just doesn't really think I spent enough time looking at properties. You know, we'd only gone out 2 times, and she felt like I should be out looking at homes, you know, for several months before I end up buying something. And so what I decided to do is I said, let's get your mom on the phone. And we called her, and mom was very nice on the phone. I educated mom. I told her about the marketplace. I also shared with mom something very important that you could use as well in a strategy session with something like this. You could tell mom, because a lot of times they're on the website, or the new buyer or the first-time buyer will let you know before you make the phone call, how long they spent online going through properties. I was able to tell mom on the phone, because I had it on my computer, that on average her son had looked at, you know, spent 20 to 60 minutes online every day for the past month looking at properties. We had toured several properties on 2 occasions. And on top of that, he was saving properties in his basket online, and he had saved about 200, and we narrowed that down over a period of a couple months. Once she understood that I was looking after his best interest, that he was doing his homework online, searching on properties, narrowing things down, all of a sudden she started to feel at ease. And she said, you know what, at the end of the day, this is Bryce's decision, and it's okay for him to move forward. So she was able to just keep his mind focused. We went ahead and scheduled the inspection for the next day. I didn't wait on that. I didn't want to wait the entire 7 days that we had in the contract. You know, when the mom said, let's go for it, and the new first home buyer said, let's keep it alive, let's get the inspector out there right away so that we can move forward with the transaction. So we kept that deal together, and that was one that was at risk of falling apart. There are other times where things could fall apart, and here's where I see some of our deals falling apart. On inspections, and have you ever experienced a client who use the inspection to request over a page of repairs. I have, and many of you have in your career. And so what did you do about it? And how did you narrow that down? And how did you keep that client and continuously market that client even after they closed because of the way you handle yourself? Don't think about this personally. Put this back on their shoulders and ask them, what is most important to your client? What is most important to your client when you get into the repair situation, when you get into the repair negotiations? Just like when you're talking about how to narrow down the properties of what properties they're most interested in, finding that right property, you do the same thing when you have all these lists of inspection repairs. You need to find out what's really most important to them, and you need to do that probably before the inspection so you set the right expectations. When you say, when I met the client at the property, and usually the way I worked it is the inspection was scheduled by the client. The client met the picked up the inspection company. I had to attend the inspection the entire time or have my assistant, a licensed assistant, attend the inspection. And what we would do is I would set it up so that my inspector could inspect the property and take as much time as he needed on the first hour. And then the second hour, that's when I would have the client show up. But before the client would meet the inspector, I'd introduce the client to the inspector, you know, so that they could go over the summary. I would then give them a brief summary in my own words of how it was going. And that would set the expectations so that I would say, for example, in Bryce's case, I'd say, Bryce, you know, hey, I'm so glad you were able to make it to the inspection to meet with Andrew. Before I introduce you to Andrew and he goes over all the summary, I just want to let you know that all the inspectors are going to find a lot of things wrong with the property. In fact, even new construction, they find things wrong with the new homes that are being built. So I want to prepare you for that, but there are a few things that are really important that we'll want to negotiate, and there will be things that he'll find that you may just want to keep in mind, you know, as like honeydew items or things that we'll want to do over time. So he'll go over that with you, and then I would lead him over to the inspector and introduce him to the inspector, who would then show him the summary of items. After the inspection was done, then I sometimes would have my 35R all ready to go, so I could type everything in and get the buyer to sign it. Or I would allow, if depending on my buyer, sometimes they wanted to sleep on it that night, and the inspector would send the report the next day. In those cases, it's okay to have it, you know, have the time for the buyer to go over the full report and then have a conversation with the buyer on what we need to ask for on the 35R. But when they say, Rochelle, just ask for everything. You know, that's where you have to get very particular with your client, understand there are certain things that are in the report that really the seller should not be doing. For example, one time I had a client, I asked the seller to do caulking, and I had him caulk the entire house. And this particular seller was overzealous and ended up using the wrong kind of caulking and caulked the bathrooms, the kitchen, everything, and did a really, really poor job. And so what I learned from that experience was that there are certain things that are honeydew items or easy to do maintenance items, cutting back shrubs and bushes from a certain area of the property. Most inspectors ask for that. They ask for caulking. They ask for certain screens to be put up or different things like that are more maintenance items or maybe removing a little bit of moss from a roof. You know, where you got to put some moss out on, or, you know, instead of cleaning it all off, you may just have to do an area of the roof. Those types of things can be, you know, negotiate. That's the only thing that's on the report. We can easily negotiate that. But if there's other things that are more important to the buyer, you want to ask for the things that are most important, that the seller, the big ticket items, things that the seller should be doing to keep the deal together anyway. I always tell the buyers that it's kind of like the three strikes, you're out rule with me. If there are three huge items, say for example the roof, the electrical updates that need to be done, and there's water in the crawl space, three big ticket items, that might warrant you going and finding a different property rather than staying with that deal. So if there's three big things and the seller, you know, is not willing to fix anything, then that might be an opportunity for you to back out and not feel bad, and the buyers seem to feel like you're not trying to just push them into a deal, that you really are looking after their best interest. If there's one big ticket item or two sometimes that's where I would negotiate for them. For example, if the roof looked like it was on its last leg, I might ask the seller to hire a licensed and bonded and insured roofing contractor to provide a 5-year roof certificate or replace the roof with a roofing material approved by the buyer. I might write something like that into the 35R. I wouldn't make that a deal killer because that could be something that could be negotiated. But when you start to have several items, just a ton of list, you start to ask yourself, is this property the right fit for my buyer? Would my buyer benefit with something else? And is there something else on the marketplace that my buyer would benefit from? Maybe my price range is out of line. Maybe I need to look at talking with the lender and find out if a property, if they're qualified. For example, if they had a $150,000 budget, but if I can get them $170,000, maybe I'm able to find them something that has more updates in terms of a condo. So there's a lot of different ways to look at this, but you do need to involve your client in the decision-making process and not be so rigid in telling them, well, I'm not going to ask for that. You've got to be very cautious because your buyer's looking to you for negotiation support and help and for advice in this part of the transaction. And you often can kill the deal or keep the deal together by just how you communicate the repairs on the addendum. And that would be done on a 35R. Sometimes when you see a list of inspection items, there are items that would be covered under a home warranty. That might be a better way to negotiate the repairs getting done is to make sure, like say for example, if the water heater's called out, and a lot of inspectors write up the water heater's on its last legs or has exceeded its life expectancy. When you get things like that and the buyers are like, well, I just want a new water heater. I just want a new furnace. I just want this or I just want that. Oftentimes you can calm them down by telling them, well, why don't we ask for, if the furnace is working and it's been serviced, but it's on its last life expectancy, you know, furnaces can last a long time, longer than what their life expectancy is. So you may want to ask the seller to provide a home warranty. And a home warranty could cover air conditioning, could cover the water heater, the furnace, the appliances. It even can cover plumbing leaks and dishwashers that break down. So sometimes those types of big ticket items can be covered in a home warranty. And again, you want to refer to your home warranty pamphlet, what's covered, what's not. But that has definitely helped me in situations to keep the deal together where things needed to be done. The other thing that you can do when you walk through the property, when you're showing the property, again, this is not, you know, when you have a really picky buyer who's killed deals before on inspection, you can walk through and do a pre-inspection in a way with your buyer, you know, so you're walking through. Things I'm looking for are recalled electrical panels. There's two electrical panels you can write down on your sheet today. They're called Zinsco and Federal Pacific. If they have that label or that brand on the electrical panel, that's a recalled panel, and it comes up on every inspection report that I've been to. So you may want to negotiate that in your offer or factor that into your bid or your offering price if your buyer has made that a concern for them in moving forward. Other things that you could pre-negotiate would be furnaces that need to be serviced. A lot of sellers do not do a good job of keeping maintenance records on their furnace, and so the inspector always catches that. If there's not a sticker, they often put on their, they recommend the seller servicing the furnace. So you may want to go ahead and pre-negotiate that or ask the seller, or you maybe tell the buyer, let's go ahead during the inspection period and make sure that the furnace is serviced, and that might be something that you pay for as a gift to your buyer. Things like that go a long way at showing that you're serious about negotiating or helping the buyer and finding the right property for them, or making sure the seller is providing proper records of the maintenance before the inspection rather than after. Your role as the agent is to reassure your client and to keep them informed along the way. After the contract has been approved, one of the key things I hear from buyers as we survey them is that, you know, I heard a lot from my agent in identifying the property and showing me the properties and negotiating the details. And once I got the deal accepted and we did the inspection, all of a sudden I don't hear from them anymore. I hear that a lot. from buyers and why they don't like the real estate agent or why they chose to go a different direction when they had to sell their property or find another one to purchase. They felt that they were not communicated with enough between the inspection and the closing. Be sure you have a strategy on how to handle that and keeping your clients informed throughout the entire escrow period. After the contract has been approved, reinforce your buyer's decision personally and sincerely throughout the remainder of the sales process. That's like the number one thing you can do. Make sure they understand what the timing is, how long things will take to get done, and make sure you have a good email strategy. Some of our top producers have an email that they send out on week one, on week two, and week three, and week four when they're working with their buyers. And if you don't have a good strategy or you're not very good with paperwork or following up after the deal gets accepted, that's when you would want to hire a transaction coordinator. We do have two outstanding transaction coordinators that work in our office. One is licensed, one is getting her license, but both are fantastic and have a very good grasp of the process and a lot of touch points from the moment you open up escrow to the close of escrow and coordinating inspections and negotiating repairs and receipts and things of that nature to make sure that the deal is solid and your buyer has a very good experience. The fees will range anywhere from $200 to $400, depending on what you're looking to do with your transaction coordinator, but it's well worth the money spent, and it definitely saves time. There also is challenges nowadays also, and I have like 2-3 minutes to cover this, but it's very important to talk about, where a lot of buyers are backing out because you may not have asked them to put up enough earnest money. You would think if you're from King County, I can't believe that. I mean, earnest buyers think like, you know, buyers are not going to walk away from $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000. But I'm actually finding buyers who are, that have walked away from large earnest money deposits. So if your buyer's not thinking about putting a very big earnest money deposit down in Pierce County or Thurston County, that may be a way to increase your likelihood of going to close, because there's not a way for them to back out and find another property that comes on the market that they like better. So make sure those earnest monies are at least 1%. That's a strategy tip. And when you're in a multiple offer situation, you know, you may want to consider putting more money. And I'm on average, multiple offers, I'm seeing around 3% is in the form of the earnest money amount. So if you've only been putting down 1%, you may want to up that so you can get one of these offers written accepted. The other piece that I'm seeing deals fall apart on is when the appraisals do not come in at value. This is happening a lot with when the multiple offers and the seller is looking at all the offers on the table and they end up going, all of them happen to not be cash. They're all financed offers. And because there's a frenzy and the house or the price gets bid up, depending on the luck of the draw, an appraiser may not be able to value the property at the property, the escalated amount or the increased amount of the price that was mutually agreed upon by the buyer and seller. There are many appraisals I've seen that I just like shake my head and get very frustrated and almost want to hate the appraiser because they're not able to see the marketplace like we see the marketplace. They're only looking sometimes at a snapshot and they're not looking at the full picture of the marketplace in general. And some of these appraisers are not from the area, or they're asked to appraise a property that they're not familiar with, and they don't, like I said, they don't see the marketplace like you and I see the marketplace, or see the comparables like you and I see the comparables. So keep that in mind when you're representing a seller. You know, you may want to, even though say a cash buyer is $5,000 less than a finance buyer, the difference between cash and finance is that finance offers require an appraisal. Cash offers, most of the cash offers I see do not require an appraisal. And so if it's $5,000 less, you're going with a finance buyer over a cash buyer, you may be leaving money on the table. The finance buyer may come during the appraisal contingency and negotiate with the seller, and actually the seller will end up losing more money than if they would have gone with the cash buyer to begin with. So cash is king for the most part if it's written and the buyer doesn't want to walk away from the large earnest money deposit. But another strategy you may want to employ would be a 22 A as in Apple, D as in Dad, a 22AD. This is a contingency you can place into the contract, or in essence, a way to communicate with the seller to get the deal. If you are going to write up a financed offer and you are in a multiple offer situation, and you have a conversation with your buyer that they're willing to put down an increased amount of down payment to make up the difference if the appraisal comes in less than what it needs to be, this may be a way for you to keep the deal together rather than it having to go back to the market, or where your buyer changes their mind because they get frustrated because the seller will not decrease the price. So it's a way to help the buyer understand the craziness of the marketplace and already preset their expectation that they may have to come up with a difference if you're in a multiple offer situation. So be sure you check out 22A as in Apple, D as in Dad. It's a new form that they created to discuss increased amounts in down payment if the appraisal does not come in at the value. And you may want to consider using that as a form in your business practice. Hopefully this was helpful tonight. It's about 6:02, 30 minutes right on the dot. If you have any questions about specific situations or deals that are looking like they may not come together, or you know, I've got all the way where they accepted my offer, but now they're changing their mind. You know, there are notices that have to be delivered appropriately. There are some times where it just doesn't make sense. The cost is too high, or the financing is not going to go through. It may be better just to back your client out in the first few days of the transaction than to go through a ton of legal battles with the seller and the buyer, and a lot of stress and anxiety on your part throughout that life of the escrow. So it may be smart just to back them out and find a different property. But the sooner you know that, the better, so you can not waste any time. All right, have a great day tonight, you guys. We'll talk to you soon. Good luck out there with those of you writing up offers. There's several that are, I mean, I think there was a record, 17 offers for one client this last week. For one client, I know it's tough, but let me know once you get one secured if you have some trouble keeping the buyer together or keeping the deal together. I'm happy to help. We'll talk soon.